The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
And the word can also be translated as inconstancy or instability. And the emphasis on it gets so tends to be, especially if you're in some traditional circles, so strong, the emphasis on permanence, that what is overlooked then is the importance of stability, constancy. I don't know if we want to say permanence, but nothing is permanent exactly, but there is stability, constancy that we can have in our lives. And I think it's important to recognize that the human heart has a great need for a certain degree of stability and constancy. You see it for children growing up, that without some stability in the family life or the life around them, that the children grow up quite frightened and closed and angry and troubled. It's really something relaxes and settles, or if the child has stability at home, has constancy, where some the parents are there in a constant way and they know it's there. And if a child grows up without the constancy of contact, of being seen, of being heard, being loved, then they'll constantly be looking for that as they're getting older. A society does a lot better with stability. Societies that are unstable, economically, socially, politically, leaves people, the whole society, often deeply troubled, and individuals troubled, and issues of violence, and all kinds of problems arise in the society. That social stability is also very important for people. Stability sometimes of livelihood is very important. To be unstable and insecure around one's livelihood is one of the great challenges of a life. To have some ability to, some stability emotionally for some people is very important, because when the emotions are unstable, you don't know what's going to come hitting you one day to the next, one hour to the next. It could be quite confusing and quite difficult to even want to go out into the world, leave your home, because you don't know how the emotions are going to come. And waves of grief or anger or fear or something. So to have emotional stability is very helpful as well. So there's a whole slew of areas where stability or constancy is an important part of the human life. And so an important part of Dharma practice is to find a reliable sense of stability to support eventually our ability to meet and confront a number of things, but to meet and kind of work with our attachment to stability, our fear of instability or impermanence, and to be able to look and see that aspect of our life which is inconstant, that action aspect of our life which constantly in flux. Deep meditation sometimes reveals a lot of impermanence, a lot of flux, but the people who don't have some psychological and kind of basic worldly stability, it's very hard to deal with some of the deeper insights that come out of meditation. And because they're sometimes in our tradition held up as being very important, almost sacred or lofty insights, the insight into impermanence, it can be very challenging for people to live up to that, to meet it, or to relate to it, because that's not what their life needs to be about, is impermanence. They have so much instability to begin with. To be told everything's unstable, for some people might be a relief, but for other people it's just makes things even more challenging or difficult to deal with. So traditionally in Buddhism, there is an emphasis on that these deeper insights come in their own time and place in the developmental model of growth. And I think for many people it's helpful to consider that Dharma practice belongs to a gradual developmental model of maturity. And the different insights, different understandings, different practices are relevant at different stages of a person's growth. And classically, one of the things that's it's important to do is to have some kind of psychological stability in one's practice. And not necessarily have to resolve all the psychological challenges we have, but there's a basic psychological issues that all people benefit from. For example, to feel stable and at ease in a certain way around one's ethical life. So to somehow be careful with one's ethical life, to live by the precepts in such a way that it becomes a support for oneself. Not so that we avoid, you know, looking bad, not so we kind of, you know, feel like we have to be a good person or a moral person per se, but rather as a way from the inside to feel that there's something that supports us. And so ethics are meant to support us, ethical integrity support us so that we don't feel remorse, we don't feel regret, we don't feel shame. We can show up in different communities and feel a certain level of dignity because we know we haven't done anything blameworthy. And so we feel a certain strength in that. And so that kind of stability of inner ethical integrity is considered very, very important in the tradition. There's also a stability that comes from learning how to relate to our community and society in healthy ways and useful ways, and to feel some confidence in our ability to relate to the world around us. That confidence is a kind of stability. And so there are simple ways the tradition talks about cultivating confidence. One of them is ethics. Another is the practice of generosity, to not necessarily giving money to people, but to have a capacity to go and be generous in your relationships with people and to have that as a strength that supports the relationship, supports a healthy life. So there's some inner stability there as well. And then there's things like loving kindness practice, which also can create a little more stability for people. So I say this as a way of encouraging you to consider that stability, constancy is a very important part of practice. Just as a child might need to have constancy, so your heart might need it as well. So one of the things that I found very helpful for years and years of practice was a constancy of practice itself. That to practice every day and to know that I practiced every day, to know that there was no wavering in that commitment. Actually, I didn't practice every day. I practiced 6 days a week. And I always gave, you know, I was trained at Zen Center initially, where they always took Sunday off from practice. And I never considered why exactly. It just, since that's the way they did it there, I thought that was a good idea. And so I remember when for my first years of practice, when I was living alone and practicing alone, I meditated twice a day, 40 minutes, but I never meditated on Sunday. And so I don't know if every day is the best thing, but 6 days a week is pretty good. But to have the constancy of it, and to know that that's a support, to know that that's a thread or a foundation that supports one's life, is not required to have a happy life, but it's such a helpful thing to know this is what I do, and not to question it, and to have that as a basis. So the question that I offer you is, to what degree can you be supported by stability, constancy, that helps you to go further in the practice? Without that, it's often harder. I think that for some people, having a meditation center like IMC in their community provides a very important reference point. If every few months we decided to move to a different town, you know, we rent the building for a couple of months, and then, I think for next month we'll go to Fremont. And then you go, I've heard Alameda's nice, and then we'll go up to, Chico. And, I think that you guys can be rushing after us, but I think there's a whole different thing for a community of people to have something in their neighborhood where they can come and they refer to. And I've seen this, that even people who don't come to IMC or come to a Buddhist center, having the stability of a place they keep coming back to, it was a very important reference point in their lives. And so we try to create a stable place for people here. So stability. So it's possible that by overemphasizing impermanence, our tradition does a disservice for people because it underemphasizes the importance of stability and constancy and continuity and and certain kind of commitment. That's another thing I've learned that was very important, was the constancy of commitment, the stability of a commitment in practice. I think I was a little bit lucky in that my first practice was in the Zen tradition, where the idea of vows and commitment were considered very important. And so the idea that you have this, you have something that you committed to, and you have the stability or constancy or follow through that, yes, this is what I'm going to do. This is not, it's not like, I'll get around to it when I feel like it, and, I'll pick it up here. On a good day, I'll pick it up, or on a bad day, I'll pick it up, and I'll get around to it eventually. There's no constancy then in the practice. So to have the constancy, just keep showing up and being here and practicing, and have a commitment or a vow or a stable intention that you follow through is also very, very important. Each person will have their own way in practicing, find their own way with all this. Everyone has their variation. But you might want to give some thought, consideration to the role that stability or constancy might have as a foundation for any further practice you do, meditation practice or any spiritual practice. So, so with that, thank you. And one of the things that we try to do here at IMC is to have a stability and constancy of a place that's well cared for. So I think it makes a difference for people to come into a building that, is at least moderately well cared for. It'd be very different if you came in here and we never picked up the trash and toilet paper was running over. We try to keep it a place that it's reliable. You come here and it's basically cared for, and we do that together as a community. So those of you who can stay, it's appreciated that you stay and help create our stability.